take those by?
We'll call this meeting to order.
I wouldn't probably.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hello.
Hello.
We were doing the pledge. You may get a number. The meeting is called to order. Madam Clerk, would you do a roll call, please?
Mayor Hill.
Here.
Assemblymember Gregg.
Yes.
Lapham.
Here.
Jackson.
Yes.
Friedenauer.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
And Case.
Yes.
Madam Mayor, you have a quorum this evening.
Thank you. This time, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda and consent agenda. Ms. Lapham.
Madam Mayor, I move to approve the agenda and the consent agenda.
I second.
Under discussion.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to...
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Jackson.
I would like to add a short discussion item somewhere, maybe under 11A5 or somewhere. It's old business, but... It would be pertaining to the final settlement in the Nelson lawsuit.
How about under number 10?
Sounds good.
Unfinished business. I'll just put a discussion. Okay, Mr. Campbell.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to remove 1604667 from the consent agenda, please.
Okay, that's 11A3.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Just one quick thing. I just want to make everyone aware that in resolution 1604666, it says this is for the Amway property. We have corrected that throughout the system. It is Anway, just so you know. And Ms. Causey has corrected it on the website, so it is fixed everywhere. Hearing no other discussion on the motion to approve the agenda and consent agenda, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Public comments. This is for any topic not scheduled for a public hearing this evening. Would any member of the public wish to speak? Ms. Schnabel?
Thank you, Deborah Schnabel. I have some questions about the resolutions 11A, 2, and 3, and these are just general comments that I brought up before at a time when you were considering other community purpose tax exemptions. I would appreciate hearing or seeing a report from the department that's recommending the exemptions. A statement about the value of the property, a statement as to what tax revenues that we may be waiving, potential tax revenues. And I also would like, once again, to iterate that I would like to see this community develop a payment in lieu of taxes policy. The amount of property that we are exempting from taxation for public service exemption, though I have no problem with the entities that provide fabulous services to the community. Nonetheless, every time we reduce the amount of property that we have available for taxation means that those who are being taxed more. So I think that payment in lieu of taxes is a concept that the federal government recognizes in owning property in municipalities, and I would like to see the same consideration given, at least to have a public discussion about it. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak at this time? Mr. Nelson.
Thank you. My name is Paul Nelson. As you're all probably aware, the
Minor Offenses Committee has concluded its work on the revision of the Minor Offense Ordinance, and I believe it'll be coming back before you on the 26th. And I believe one of their recommendations is going to be to consider that for additional public hearings. And I support that. I would like to see additional public hearings before the Assembly, before the Minor Offense Ordinance is reinstituted. And another reason I would like to see additional public hearings is because we have now seasonal residents that are returning to the Haynesboro. And if we just pass it without additional public hearings, I believe those people are going to feel like they were left out of the process. Thank you very much.
Would anyone else wish to speak at this time? Ms. Josephson?
Hi, I'm Brenda Josephson, and I want to start by thanking the Assembly for setting up an ad hoc committee on the minor offenses. And I want to thank everyone who served on the Minor Offense Committee. I've attended the meetings. I know that they're going to be, my knowledge from the meetings is that they're going to be recommending a code review commission. And I want to express support for that. I think it's a very good solution to the challenges we have with the need to look at specific infractions that are listed. I also would like to encourage the Assembly to assign the first pass to be the Public Safety Commission's recommendations. And also I concur with Paul that public hearings, the document that's going to be put forward to be very important. And once it's compiled, I think it's real important for everyone, the public, as well as the Assembly, as well as the ad hoc committee, to have a chance to review it for accuracy, to make sure that everything that was recommended to be changed is captured. And thanks again for your support for working through the ordinance.
Ms. Steinman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, Carol Tynman. And I'm also here to say thank you so much for setting up the ad hoc committee on the Minor Offenses Ordinance. They worked so hard. They did a great job. They took a lot of input and came up with a lot of very positive ways of having our laws enacted in a way that's equitable and can be also enforced in a way that we all can feel good about. And I think that this is going to be a major milestone for the borough when this is finally passed. And I thank you and the committee members. I also want to just quickly mention that the National Park Service is going to be here for 3 days, well, actually a week, but they'll be doing a 3-day historic masonry repointing workshop at Fort Seward. And we already have 10 people registered. We've put out publicity about it. But the reason I'm telling you is not only is this one of the early steps in more restoration work at the fort, along with the interpretive signs and the sculpture of the garden that the Arts Confluence is making, but the Park Service is interested, unofficially, it's interested in establishing a historic preservation school in Alaska. It would be a summer school, and the place they'd like to do it is here in Haines. So I'm really hoping that this is a successful workshop and that the outcome of it encourages our community to make this a welcoming situation, because it could bring not only more skills into our community, because people who take this class, some of them are taking it are already Masons, and they will be gaining skills that will benefit our economy and our community. So thank you very much.
Would anyone else like to speak? Mr. Hughes.
Do I have to sign up for public comment, or?
Not for this, no. Only to talk about something that's not scheduled for public hearing. We have two ordinances scheduled for public hearing.
Thank you. Perusing the agenda here, I notice there's a letter from the Pacific Salmon Treaty Coalition, and being a fisherman and a member on our board of directors for a hatchery, we strongly support the Pacific Salmon Treaty Coalition's efforts to help lobby in Washington, D.C. for better, more respect for the Alaskan views that are shared at the Pacific Salmon Treaty. It's Canada, Washington, Oregon, California, and we're getting a tough time with king salmon and issues in that coalition, underfunding by the federal government, and there's a long list. I won't go into it, but if they ask, I haven't read the letter, I'm sorry, I just got in town, but if they ask for something from the borough assembly, I would wish a letter of support if that's what they're asking. They're very important to the fisheries in Alaska and king salmon, which if you can't access king salmon, that they pull back on other fisheries, and then we can't access other fisheries. So it's very hard on the rest of us. King salmon are a key species in the environment, and the way they're being politicized in Canada and farther south because they have our own agendas that we've been losing the last few years, and your support would be appreciated, or your consideration for the letter. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak?
Hi, I'm Sally Anderson. I'm on the board of Tokchinik Watershed Council. I'd just like to urge you to pass the resolution for tax exemption for the parcel that we call the Brown Parcel, which is at 6th and Dalton. It's just a sweet little open space property in the middle of town that people use to walk on, kids use to get to school. There's a creek on it, Sawmill Creek, with some cutthroat trout habitat, maybe coho salmon spawning habitat. It's got a deed restriction on it, so it can't be subdivided. It doesn't have a super high value. I think passing it, I know it's a difficult time to pass tax exemptions. I really understand that. It's also a difficult time for nonprofits. And I think it'd be a forward-thinking decision and a good benefit for the community to keep this as open space. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak? Mr. Dubber.
Leonard Dubber. And I'd also like you to give real strong consideration to all the things that the Minor Offenses Ad Hoc Committee worked on. I also think that what they've done has been good, but the job's only half done. A lot of the people who were signed that petition and very upset were concerned about too many offenses and how it was set up. And I think the Code Revision Commission would be very beneficial to this process. Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing none. Very brief.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I thought he was coming up to speak. Sorry.
Okay. I have continued to monitor what's going on in Juneau. It's not any better news than it was 2 weeks ago or a month ago. Things are sort of winding down. I've listened into several hearings. They're not accepting public comment on most of their budget stuff at this point, but they continue to meet regularly. We will probably, I'm hearing that they're going to have a special session very quickly after this one closes, and it's sounding like it's going to be in Anchorage, which a lot of even the elected officials, I'm not sure how it got there, because a lot of them weren't happy with it when it was there last year. So we will keep you posted on that, and I'm sure we'll have a full report from Bill on where we stand on everything he's been monitoring while he's been there. So stay tuned, and I hope that we have some good news even in this sad, scary climate. Tonight, the only other two things that I wanted to mention during my report is for the next week, I would like people to consider serving on the food trailer committee. This discussion has happened several times over the last several years as we have more and more trailer-type food businesses showing up around town. It did go to the Planning Commission. They have asked to have two people sit on this seat, so I am looking for probably three more people if you're interested or you know someone that would be interested in serving on this committee so we can develop some policies to address food trailers. Please have them send me an email or a letter or stop by the office and let me know. And be happy to consider your name. I plan to make this appointment at the next assembly meeting on the 26th, I think it is. So by next Tuesday at the close of business, I'd like to have a list of folks to choose from. So thank you for that. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had some discussions about a code committee. And what we're going to try first is, rather than establish another committee, we are going to go through our code section by section and have the gas committee do this project. Most of the gas committee is really familiar with doing this kind of work, and I think it's a good place to get started. And as you know, the public can certainly participate in these committee meetings, and I would encourage you to if you have suggestions or comments. And Julie, our clerk, reminded me this morning that to remind committees that you can actually hold public hearings on things that you're discussing or things that are on your agenda. So this is not going to start until after we're done with the budget and after we're done with our union negotiations. We have those two huge things on our plate right now, as well as waiting to hear how we do with the state budget. So probably in about a month, we'll look at the code, and we'd like to start with areas that we've already run into bumps in the road every time we turn around. So it's going to take a little bit of work in the office to decide where to start, but I want to start where we have the most pickups and see how we do with that. So with that, that concludes my report. Yes.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Two things. Maybe I'm wrong. Is it under the assembly's purview to assign something to an assembly committee? And second of all, well, that would be my first question, just because it doesn't even sound like the chair of the gas committee knew about that.
The chair of the gas committee didn't know about that. So,
Would that be something that maybe the assembly could take up at the next meeting and make that recommendation if they desire?
You can. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have plenty of time.
Okay.
So that would be fine. And did you have something else?
No.
Oh, that was okay.
It. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, public hearings. We have two ordinances for public hearing. Ordinance 1603-431, this is its first hearing. This is an ordinance of the Haynesboro, amending Haynesboro Code Section 18.20.020 and subsection 18.80.030B to clarify the method of calculating building height. This is recommended by the Planning Commission and was introduced on March 29th. The Assembly already scheduled the second hearing for April 26th. No motion is needed now unless the second hearing date needs to change or some other action is desired. We have no one has signed up to speak on this ordinance, so we'll bring it, close the public hearing and bring it back to the Assembly for comments or discussion. Seeing none, no action is required, so this second public hearing will be on April 26th. Ordinance 1603-432, first public hearing. This is an ordinance of the Haynesboro providing for the addition or amendment of specific line items to the FY16 budget. This is recommended by the interim manager and was introduced on March 29th. The Assembly already scheduled the second hearing for April 26th. So no motion is needed now unless the second hearing date needs to change or some other action is desired. And we have Ms. Schnabel would like to speak on this ordinance.
Thank you. Deborah Schnabel. First of all, I apologize to Mr. Ryan. I did not come and speak to him at his offices only because I just learned of this. But I have concerns about the about taxing property owners to build a revenue for paying for operating costs. That's what we do. And then transferring operating costs to purchase capital expenditure for capital expenditures. In two instances here, we're taking money from the town site service area fund and buying equipment with it. One of them is somewhat small, admittedly. It's a truck, and it's the truck is approximately $40,000, and I don't know where that really fits in the whole question of is it a capital expenditure or not. But the other thing is a 950 loader of $300,000. And when I would like to see us do a better job of budgeting, if we're going, we raise our capital funds through sales tax, and to take property tax money out of the townsite service area, which is raised for operating expenses, and put it into capital funds, I do not believe is fair to the taxpayers. So I'd like to see, I recognize that there is sales tax money that goes into the general fund, the townsite service area. I recognize that. But I still think that we have integrity of our operating capital and our capital. And to transfer the money back and forth, to me, is not fair because we have very clear understanding among the public about how we raise money for capital and how we raise it for operating funds. I don't like to see them mixed. Thank you.
We will close the public hearing and bring it back to the assembly for assembly comments.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Campbell.
My first question, I want to clarify, so this would be an additional loader in addition to what we already have?
Yeah, we're going to surplus the one. Ralph gave me some numbers on it. It's a 2003 Case 71D loader that we're going to surplus. And this would be a replacement for it.
Well, how many loaders do we own currently?
I believe we own just one loader.
Okay. I was thinking that we had two and we had just sold one. So then my next question, this seems to be kind of a surprise. I don't remember seeing a new loader in our CIP in the last 2 years. Was it in the last CIP?
So if you look at item 8 on this budget amendment, you'll see that we've had a equipment sinking fund. And it's $225,000 from the CIP funds, and then the additional townsite service area fund balance is the $73,000. So we have had a sinking fund that we continue to put money in for equipment like this. And it was in last year's CIP. It wasn't identified loader. It's just identified equipment sinking fund.
Okay. And then the other question I had on the truck, we've got a flatbed truck that is extremely quickly adaptable for a toolbox and a pipe rack. To have one you could just set up there and bolt down or strap down onto your existing flatbed truck, why are we looking at getting an additional chassis that we have to maintain when we can use existing equipment and just get a box to set on when we need to haul the pipe?
I guess I'm not sure what you mean by that. Are you talking about the flatbed tow truck?
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking about this. This is a utility truck that looks very similar to one Ralph drives around now. It's a work bed truck. It's not for hauling pipe. Am I missing something? It has a pipe rack on it, but it's not to haul. Yeah, it's a pickup truck. I guess I'm confused on that.
Well, I guess I'm asking, I'm reading this. Have you guys identified equipment to your plant to buy, and you're just trying to get us to approve the expenditure. Is that what's going on here?
Right. We've identified a pickup truck that would match the current one we have and replace the older vehicle. I believe it's a, I can't remember what year it is. But we're getting rid of a pickup truck and replacing it with a new one.
Between now and the next meeting, would it be possible for you to give us the specs on what the, what we're replacing? The,
yeah.
What equipment we're replacing?
Yep, no problem.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. I have to admit that I didn't read this carefully. And I'm a little, I don't think there's enough information in it. So I am going to be voting against it until I find out more information. Why the current, and it's, this is dear to my heart, of course, that the case loader isn't going to be taken away. But I don't know why we need, there's not enough justification for that, in my opinion. There's not any justification for it documented. And also, while I think Caterpillar is great, did we look at other kind of loaders and see what they meet our requirements and so on? This may be very, very good. There's just not enough information for me to make that kind of a decision now.
I would say,
go ahead.
Yeah, we were relying on Ralph and Will to do their research on what's appropriate to go out and. And I believe also Sheila might have something to add. She looks like she's itching with it.
Ralph worked with a state procurement officer who purchases equipment for the state of Alaska. And as a political subdivision of the state of Alaska, we're allowed to piggyback on their procurement contracts.
Right.
So this particular loader is one that that the state has procured a contract for a good price on. So I think that.
Would we be at any disadvantage if we held this over?
We are
meeting while I got more information.
It's already held over till the 26th. This is the first hearing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So we have time.
All right. I should have seen that. Thank you,
Mr. Gregg.
I just wondered, if a 2003 loader, does that depreciate that much that we need to replace it now?
That's the recommendation I'm getting from Ralph and Will, our mechanic, and we'll sell it. And they estimate it's between $30,000 and $40,000. But they're saying at this point it's time to get rid of it while it still has a little bit of value in it and move on to something that Will, the mechanic, won't be working on.
I was just wondering if this had been to committee and if maybe that would help address some of the questions before it comes back to us. I think I heard Sheila ask if it had been to finance. I didn't hear the answer, but does it? Perhaps maybe need to go to finance as a budget amendment that we could suggest that and some of the questions could be answered in a recommendation, or is that usual for a budget amendment, I thought?
I don't know that.
I second that motion.
And Ms. Blackham. Motion.
I don't know, Mr. Campbell, if that was even a motion that Margaret made.
There's it was mostly a question, George, sorry.
Yes, I had my response to Gila was that I would like to take this up either the 20th or the 21st of April, trying to duck it in between meetings that we already have slated. So I'm hoping that the possibility of having that information that could come to the committee, as well as Ralph, to explain to us, it would be most helpful, I believe. And then, of course, any assembly that wants to come to the finance meeting is more than welcome, but... Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion on Ordinance 1603-42? I'm hearing that we would like to refer this to the Finance Committee.
Should you need a motion, or is that just going to happen? I move that we refer this
it's
to the.
It's not fund. Required. To
okay,
have a
then.
Motion.
Never mind. I trust
we'll just
Diana.
Put it on their agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
It's on your agenda. Okay. And we will have another hearing on this on the 26th of April. All right. Mr. Ryan, Interim Borough Manager Report.
I got it. So there's been some questions on the 408 permit from a number of people of why we haven't released the draft, and it was a specific request from the Corps of Engineers not to release it until she had final review of it from all of her staff. So it's there. It looks promising to me. Some specific items that I was concerned about I sent to P&D, and they responded they shouldn't. It wouldn't be a major concern. So hopefully they stick to their draft letter, and the 408 recommendations will come by the end of the month if we're lucky, and we could be moving forward with the second part of the Corps of Engineers permits. So let's all keep our fingers crossed for that one, but it looks promising. We'll be looking at the 95% designs later, but one of the things I wanted to address, there was at one point some recommendations from the Planning Commission about terms or things that should be addressed before we get there. Most of them look like they've been reviewed, but I'll highlight Harvey Smith's report was one of the big ones, the free review of it, and you'll see in this there's a pretty good analysis, I believe it's 28 pages in here, that addressed his biggest concerns to the Corps, which was the wave environment, and I think you'll see that we don't feel that they're a concern, and at this point, and neither does the Corps of Engineers, for that matter. And one other thing that was a concern in this was Lookout Park and what to do with it, as far as whether to include it in Phase 1. At this point, we're still hoping to include it in Phase 1, and one of the things that probably I was hoping to talk about is that it's in the report as well, but we're hoping to move the totem pole before May, actually, since one of the original designers in town, and we can get it up to AIA at the same time and have him look at it and get it refurbished. We'd like to move the memorial. We'll put something out for the public to make sure we're not breaking any rules on that. The Fisherman's Memorial, we're hoping to put it up next to the dog cart metal sculpture, still in the public eye, and potentially move the drill rig as well. Sometime this summer, assuming everything's going forward. We won't be moving or tearing down the gazebo until the project is ready to go and moving forward. We'll leave it as is, intact, handrails, the whole thing, but hopefully we won't be putting any money into it as well right now. Because it is somewhat dilapidated, we'll just leave it as is, but we won't be like additional work on it. Hopefully that'll come down in Phase 1 of the project. One other thing is roads. We've been working with Pro-H&S in town to get some designs on some roads that we've prioritized for upgrades. We're also, we have those designs, and we need still to prioritize those designs to see what we want to put out for bid. As well as we've been working with we've been invited to work with the Chilkoot Indian Association, and there's actually a large group of stakeholders there earlier this week to get a more formalized prioritization of roads and transportation in the town, and so we'll be taking that into decision when we're working on the roads as well. I believe the chamber's going to have a spring cleanup, and if you have the yellow bags from the chamber, you just drop them off in the town site or around town with Public Works. They'll pick them up. Preferably you drop them by a stop sign so it's a little less stop for the Public Works group. But just a little bit of work there. And I think the rest of it. And you can see in my update. Okay. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Ryan? Ms. Lacka?
Mr. Ryan, moving the Fisherman's Memorial, is that going to be a permanent spot, or is it just while the construction is going?
It would just be for the construction.
Okay.
But we're talking about putting an advertisement in the paper to see if there's any unwritten rules or written rules that we're breaking before we go moving those things around. So, do some outreach to the public.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Jackson.
Thank you. You mentioned the biomass thing here, and maybe I'm being too eager, but it says there's a draft report out, and
There is. I can bump it to you if you'd like. It's okay. Still, they haven't put the finishing touches on it. There's, sorry, Jeremy, but there's a lot of engineers involved in this. And so there's a lot of emails flying and ideas and traveling, drying trailers. But I'll bump the draft to the assembly and anybody else that's interested in it, since they don't seem to want to put the final finishing touches on. And that's just the scoping of where to place it right now, the biomass.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see that kind of thing. Sure. Another thing about the sequencing of Lookout Park, did I understand you to say that you would be tearing it down during the dredging, basically, so that they would be kind of grading that whole area at one point there, and the park would be gone for 2 years or so until
There's still some, since that wasn't scoped in phase one, we're trying to scope that for phase one now. So one of the questions is, when is it best to actually take the gazebo down and demo the concrete? We don't want to do that until we know, with the engineer's advice, when the best time is to make that happen. So hopefully when we build the parking lot or the dredge spoil lot there, that'll be when we could bring it down, but not prior to that happening. So I don't think that we want to take it down and then have it down in there for the parking lot. So potentially, yeah, I guess there could be a time lag there of a year or two, depending on what we prioritize there for Lookout Park.
Yeah, okay. We can talk about that more later.
Sure. And I think that plays into the budget item in there as far as scoping the trail and moving Lookout Park. So that'll have some time frame associated with it as well, and community meetings, and so that may delay or expedite.
Yeah, okay. Budgeting.
Any other questions for Mr. Ryan?
Madam Mayor?
Mr. Campbell?
I got three questions here. One is, nothing's been said. I'm just wondering, have you been fielding complaints about heli-skiing helicopters?
Well, we haven't gotten, I believe we haven't gotten an official complaint about activity. We did get some feedback of when we were going to do spot checks, which we've requested data for spot checks from the companies, and I sent some of that data to the Toxic Watershed Council for analyses. There's one company we're still waiting for their responses on.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Number two, in the area white paving, I'm glad to see that we're working on this. It's been much needed. I have a little bit of concern on the 4th Avenue, and I guess I don't know where you guys are generating the priorities, and I'm curious about that, how that gets generated, but 4th Avenue's been a known problem, and I'm wondering if you're not doing enough on 4th Avenue, because that is a heavily traveled, correction, 2nd Avenue. That's a fairly heavily traveled street, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't do that all the way down to between the highway and Main Street. So that's just a question. If you can answer that now, great. If you want to wait till later, I'll talk to you later on it.
I will say that there seems to be multiple lists of road priorities right now, and so we've been working on improving that. The current list has been something that Ralph has highlighted as roads that were in really poor shape, small sections, and we also have the utilities in the grounds currently updated, so we wouldn't be going back and tearing them up. But yeah, I think the prioritized list needs some work, and fortunately Chilkoot is also looking at that right now, which brings a pretty good group of people together to be discussing that and hopefully vetting that more publicly.
Excellent, thank you. And then the last thing, why, if we're going to have a contractor dealing with the harbor, why don't we allow the contractor to move the Fisherman's Memorial and worry about tearing down the park? Because I can imagine anybody that's going to come in to do and have to fill the parking lot would be just as happy to throw that concrete at the bottom and cover that concrete up as anything else.
Yeah, I think the actual demo of the concrete potentially would go into the phase one of the project. The moving of the totem pole and Fisherman's Memorial, we would probably do. We're not demoing much there. We're taking the totem pole off of the steel pole. The memorial is a concrete block it's easily moved. So I'm not sure if that answers your question.
It does. And would you please make sure you thank Ralph for thinking ahead and not doing a bunch of work on the streets? We got a tear up to do utilities next year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Okay. Yep. Any other questions for the manager? Okay, hearing none, thank you. We are down to Assembly Board Liaison Reports. Ms. Lapham.
Madam Mayor, the TAB Committee, Tourism Advisory Board Committee, met last week, and we were able to get through five chapters in Title V as far as reworking it, and it's coming along very well. And again, I have to reiterate the what they're doing, what Leslie is doing, our tourism director, is after we're done with the initial changes, she goes and talks to Julie. And Julie then tells her the practicality or the applicability of doing some of these things or what she would like to see. And the whole point is not only to get a good streamlined code that's easy to read and understand, but also how easy is it for staff to do, because we're dealing with all the permitting and just everything to do with tourism and businesses alike, and what, how best to do that for staff. And I'm amazed at how well the working is on that, because Leslie will come back and tell us in our next workshop what will work, what Julie kind of thinks might be a better idea, and then we're able to refine that. And it's really, it's nice to see how well this is working.
Any other liaison reports? Ms. Friedenauer.
I guess I have two. Ports and Harbor, the manager went over the stuff about the permitting and about the park, but they Ports and Harbor discussed that last week. Harbor Master also mentioned that the floats are going in soon at Letnikoff. And the LUTAC RFP, the committee learned that the administration is still pushing forward with an RFP for design at LUTAC. They discussed something to do with annual launch ramp fees, but they're working on that right now. And then, actually, I don't know if you were... the Ports and Harbor and Parks and Rec are going to have a joint meeting to talk about not just Lookout Park, but talk about... Parks and Rec has been trying to identify some uses for that public space and like trails and what could possibly be put in around the harbor project even after the first phase of construction, during construction, things like that, to make it still usable and efficient. And the committee chair is raising his hand, so maybe I'm misspeaking. But anyways, yeah, they're having a joint meeting like that. And then I had another committee report, but I don't know if you want to recognize Norm or something.
I will, but the floats are in at Letnikoff.
They're in?
Yeah,
okay.
They've been in for a couple of days now, so.
Okay.
And people are using them.
Okay, and then I can give my other committee report.
Mr. Hughes.
There has been a joint meeting scheduled, I believe, for Monday the 25th of April. It's on the borough calendar. If I'm wrong with the date, I'm sorry, but I believe it's Monday the 25th. I still have to write the letter to the Parks and Rec Committee inviting them, but I also would like to invite the members of the Aesthetics Committee to that meeting. It's a workshop meeting, so it's going to be rather loose, but I would like to engage all the knowledge we have in the community on parks and harbors and features and keep moving the process along.
Thank you.
And then public safety hasn't met, but there has been some emails going around that I think you've been on that they are very keen to stay involved in the hiring of the police chief position.
Yes.
And I don't know what's going to happen. Are we getting the applications on the 19th? We're being presented the applications on the 19th. But yet public safety is wondering how they can be involved in that process so that they can provide feedback when we're looking at the final application.
Please do.
Okay, thank you.
I sent Mr. Sanford a message today.
Okay.
You weren't privy to that.
Okay, good.
I got from the consultant just this afternoon the electronic version of the police chief application.
Excellent.
And I'll be sending them out tomorrow. Plus, I'm expecting to get the hard copies of those sometime tomorrow afternoon. And the members of the Public Safety Commission will be able to come by and pick those up. Stay tuned for the borough manager ones. Those will come shortly thereafter. So I'll send the assembly out a message to let you know when those are ready.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Is that it?
For liaison, yes.
Okay. Any other liaison reports? Standing committees. Ms. Lapham.
Finance, we haven't forgotten. The sales tax, we will take that up after the budget session. Is all our meetings are down to a dull roar on that. And also, we'll set a meeting date for the budget amendments between now and the next meeting, at the end of this meeting.
Okay. Any other standing committees? Mr. Jackson?
Minor offenses met last night and kind of wrapped up a lot of loose ends around our recommendations on that. Sent them off the attorney this morning for final packaging, and we'll get those back and be looking at them. We have a bunch of recommendations associated with that that will come to the assembly next meeting. And one of those will involve a code revision committee. So we'll be talking about that at that time.
Okay. And the public hearing.
And we will be asking for a couple of discussion times in the assembly, two separate discussion periods to evaluate what we've done, so the public can have more time to comment on the final product.
Any other standing committee reports? Mr. Case.
Yes, I would just like to thank all the assembly members that participated. I'm speaking for the personnel committee. All the assembly members did a great job in getting out their evaluations of the interim manager at the last time. It was not really appropriate to thank him at that time, but I think it is now. And I think it did two things. It gave the interim manager a good feel for how his efforts are appreciated and so on, but it also showed everybody that these don't need to take a whole bunch of time. You can get them done and get people evaluated and fulfill that part of our obligation in terms of personnel evaluation. Thank you.
Ms. Lapham?
I just have a question, Madam Mayor. Has everybody turned in their evaluations?
No, I've only received two.
Pretty important that they go into Mr. Ryan's package.
Yeah, I left mine here.
A lot of people had them right there. But yeah, I brought mine in a few days later.
Okay, yeah. I'll send it.
Yeah. I have two. One, I got yours on my desk.
Okay.
And then another one I've been
turned over mine.
Did you get mine, Joy? Do you know?
I don't think so.
Madam Mayor?
That's cool.
Mr. Campbell?
Yeah, I was unable to download anything off my iPad. If I could get one sent to my home email address, I'll get it done.
Okay. Well, and we could look, because everything might have just gotten piled together. But you go through everything.
Just
okay. We will get those. Okay, any other standing committee reports? Hearing none. Unfinished business, discussion item. Is that you, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, it was. At the last meeting, I think it was, the manager reported that the lawsuit was settled and there was a 50% settlement, I think it was 50% of the court costs that Mr. Nelson had incurred as a result of our actions with the with the littering issue. I've listened to the tapes of that transcript a couple of times now just to really understand what happened, because I was kind of new on the assembly then, and I repeatedly, I think that in that process I was misled by Mr. Sosa at that time about what was legally correct, and the court has reinforced that actually. What I would like to do, and I guess I'll make a motion to see where it goes, is I would like to move that we reimburse Mr. Nelson the remaining 50% of that court cost so that he doesn't isn't impacted by our decision or our error in making that the judgment that we did, or the hearing the appeal. The code was very clear that $300 was the amount. Sosa went for $1,200, multiple daily fines, basically compounding.
Point of order, you've made a motion.
Oh,
yeah, you're going.
Yeah, okay. Where did I leave off?
You made the motion.
Okay, reimburse him for those expenses, the 50% part that he was not covered with, period.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Seconded by... Mr. Case.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out that I don't agree with the position that Mr. Sosa took either, but he's not the one that voted. We're the ones that voted on it. And I think I am particularly angry at myself for it, because I knew it was the wrong thing to do, and I was just trying to get it out of the way. And that wasn't Dave Sosa's fault. That was mine. It was very clear in front of us what the code said. We should have followed it. So whether your motion goes any further, that's one thing. But I don't think it should be blamed on somebody else.
Any other discussion on the motion? Ms. Lapham?
I'm confused as to, I thought that this... the award, that it was done, that it was a completed issue. I am not placing blame on Mr. Sosa. I'm not placing blame on myself. I am not placing blame on anybody. I am here to tell you that in some certain situations, and I know the code said what the code said, but we also pay a manager to advise us, to recommend, so on and so forth. Whether that was right or wrong at the time, I didn't know. Hindsight tells me, hindsight's 20/20, that it may have been the wrong information. Okay, so we have had our attorney weigh in on this. There has been a judgment, an award, and I guess I'm confused. I don't know why we're going back over it again. If someone could explain it to me, that's fine. I'm neither or. I just want to know why we have to keep backtracking and spinning our wheels on subjects when I'm thinking they're done. And if an explanation, I feel I'm due an explanation.
Mr. Ryan.
Yeah, I do think this really complicates things. I mean, I've engaged our lawyers. We've come up with a settlement. I think saying the additional 50% is a difficult thing to say. You know, there's a lot of, these are the court costs, or these, you know, there's a lot of discussion in this settlement that isn't as simple as, well, we'll just give him back the additional 50% of the court costs. So I'd be very careful of that, I guess. I do feel like I've already, you know, sent the lawyers forward to settle this. Mr. Nelson's lawyers agreed to it. This does make things difficult, and it kind of opens us up to say 50% of what? Like, his lawyers' claims of what the costs are, our lawyers' claims of what the costs are. It's going to get challenging.
Ms. Friedenauer.
Yeah, I think the key word there is settlement. I mean, a judge made a determination, and that's what a judge does. He interprets the law, and what a judge says isn't always necessarily right or wrong. It's just the interpretation in a particular case. That's what the judge did, and it came back against what the borough did. That's fine. That's what happens in a court of law. And then there was a settlement for the court fees. And Mr. Nelson had every right to come to the borough through his attorney and say, I'd like reimbursement. And it could have gone all the way back to a judge to determine what fair reimbursement would have been. If I remember what the manager said when this came up is, they came up with a settlement that most likely would have aligned itself with what a judge would have said anyways, which is 50% normally. And the fact that it's a settlement means that Mr. Nelson and his attorney have already agreed to it. And Mr. Nelson and his attorney aren't asking for this. I mean, at some point, there's a point of taking responsibility for a mistake that a judge has said we made. And at some point, there's being fiscally responsible to the taxpayers in legal proceedings. And we made a settlement for 50%, which was not only in our best interest, but Mr. Nelson thought was in his best interest. And they agreed on it. And I don't see any need to null and void a settlement that everybody's agreed to. So.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Madam Mayor?
Mr. Campbell?
I understand completely what Ms. Friedenauer said, and she makes some very, very good points. One point, though, I would like to make is that one of the problems with government and one of the reasons that citizens get very angry is that government can walk on your property, write you a citation, and say you've got to pay this. Then you have to go fight it, and you got to go to court, and it costs you a whole bunch of money. You never recoup your time. You never recoup the heartache. You never recoup all the money that you had to spend on attorneys to defend yourself to prove that your government was wrong. And I think what Mr. Jackson is saying is that we need to step up as a government, and we need to stop our staff and stop ourselves from overrunning what we're supposed to be doing. And I think the affair with Mr. Nelson was a prime example of that, that we had people get overzealous about, oh, we can do this, even though our code didn't allow us to do this. And I think the idea that we have to punish, we are punishing our citizens, whether or not we pay 50%, that means they still had to pay 50%, and we're punishing them even though they were not in the wrong.